Welcome to Christ Today. Lord God, we all face some kind of an experience where we wish we had some help. Yes, Lord. And many of us have called out to you for help in those times. I know for me I have. So, Lord, help me to understand that I'm asking for your understanding and for you to give me the ability to do your will and recognize it. So, Lord, I pray for that for each one of us, and to recognize your will and to do it, and in Jesus' name, and amen. I often think about you end a prayer. I end a prayer within Jesus' name, and I think of that as a reminder to me that it is in Jesus' will that we are praying and asking for things. So, not that it's something where you say, in Jesus' name, and then it's going to happen, but in Jesus' name, and then you recognize that it is God's will that you're asking for. So, yes, prayer requests, oh, we have them. We pray for mercy. We pray for things to ease up on things. We pray for, well, mercy. So, Lord, help me to learn the lessons that you want me to learn using grace so that those lessons to learn aren't so hard. Yeah. And, oh, don't we have some hard lessons sometime? We sure do. Sometimes people think it's a test you're putting us through, Lord. But we know that it is all about the relationship of us drawing close to you. So thank you for all the experiences of life that we have. Again, we ask for grace and mercy and understanding and wisdom. Oh, yes, as we march all through life, there's so many things that we have, so many blessings, so many burdens, and that is the experience of life. We know sometimes that the wonderful things happen. Sometimes the tragedies happen. But all over the world, things happen. And in the United States, we certainly are blessed. We have so many wonderful blessings. I think it's because of our Christian heritage that has shown us what the Christian life principles and values and ethics will bring to life. So we try to share our Christianity with the world and tell them about the benefit that Christ has brought to us personally and to our country. And, of course, we have warnings from God to not go into sin, and we have warnings from all sorts of people. If you look back in the United States, our founders had warnings as well. If you look at the second president of the United States, John Adams, he said, our Constitution was made only for a moral and a religious people, and it is wholly inadequate for the governing of any other. And the next president, Thomas Jefferson, he said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, then it expects what never was and never will be. He continues, if we are to guard against ignorance and remain free, it is the responsibility of every American to be informed. I think that's a pretty good quote. And I just think, how are we doing at being informed? Or moral, like John Adams said, or informed, like Thomas Jefferson says. It's another way of seeing what is going on around us, to be informed. And another way is to look at history, study history. And that is also a way of being informed, so that we can see the historical patterns. And the historical patterns, often enough, they tell us what is going to come our way, because patterns repeat. However, today we have an ignorance among the population and an apathy. And that's not so good. It does not bode well for the people of America. That's one of the reasons why people are expecting a certain amount of chaos and even collapse in the United States, because we people in general are not aware of what has been going on either currently or in a historical pattern in the past. We don't even know how our culture got here, or many of the young people don't. They don't recognize the sacrifices that were made in Western civilization to procure liberty. But to procure liberty, a great price was paid. Yes, in America, yes, in England, and yes, in Europe. Oh, and I remember we did learn some of those things in grade school, but a grade school was also a place to intermix cultures, and they thought it was a good thing to teach multiculturalism. And yes, we ought to know about other cultures, but yes, we also ought to know what our culture has done to bring about freedom and liberty and justice. It's a wonderful thing for us to be in America and have that. Sometimes there's another culture that is lifted up, but the whole truth is not taught about the other cultures. I remember when I was in grade school, there was talk about the Islamic science, but I came to find later that scientific study was borrowed from other cultures like Roman and Greek. And sure, it was knowledge, and that was good, but it wasn't the whole story. It was taught in a way to influence us. And yes, we young people got influenced. Oh, yes, and we still do today. So I hope that we remind our young people about the wonderful, wonderful facts about America and the blessings about America and its godly and Christian heritage. And you know, one thing that's coming up very quickly is our political independence is celebrated on July 4th. And we in America, we certainly do have a lot to celebrate. we have a lot to be proud of. Our country has a great God-honoring tradition, and we can be proud of that. Not overly proud, because it's God that we are celebrating. And of course, America, we know there are problems in America. America is not perfect. Problems in many areas, including with our politics, with the drug use, with the gangs around, with our porous border. These are all problems that America has. And we hear all the time in the news about the violence that is going on in neighborhoods. That seems to be amplified in the news. Why? So I'm not sure quite why, but I know that it is amplified, and it is sad to see the violence that is around. It's easy to look at the big cities and see that violence, stories and of violence are common. I think about Chicago. Oh, yeah, and just a couple of days ago, there was a story about a young couple being shot in front of their two young, very young children. Oh, Chicago. So much goes on there. Oh, let's see. I heard that 1,500 people had been shot in Chicago this year, and 290 of them had been killed. And so, a lot of people say guns are the problem. That is what's going on. Guns are the problem. But I know when you look at those statistics, it's kind of surprising to find out that more often people are killed with knives than with guns. Probably twice as many people are killed with knives than with guns. I think that's pretty general. But how do we fix the violence anyway? Do we make a law against that? Do we make a law against everything? Well, we are a land of laws, sort of. But on the other hand, our land has become lawless because we do not obey the many laws that there are. I think about some of the things that we do that are illegal as a society. I think about drugs, for instance. And we want laws to keep drugs out of society or keep guns out of the hands of some people. And I think of that most guarded place, a United States prison. And in prison, they have drugs. Anybody can get drugs in prison. You just have to pay for them. But how do you keep things out of the hands of the people who want them, like drugs in prison or guns in a big city? Well, it's not by laws. If laws were successful, then we would have a very peaceful society. But laws are not the whole answer. And we can look at all the violence around and see, yes, laws don't make the difference. What God writes on our hearts, that is what makes the difference. And, thinking about guns, I was just thinking, there were between 2010 and 2020, there were 1,900 firearms lost or stolen from our U.S. military. And, you know, that's a pretty tight group. But still, they have been missing all those guns, 1,900 firearms or various arms. Here's the list. They include 1,179 rifles, 694 handguns, 74 light machine guns, 36 grenade launchers, 34 rocket launchers, 35 mortars, and 11 shotguns, plus lots and lots and lots of ammunition. And This came to the attention of people lately because those stolen weapons were showing up in our big cities when there was criminal activity. So, yeah, we have laws against all sorts of things, but we need to have a personal morality, and that is best when it's the Christian morality with God's laws written on our heart. And even though these are lots of problems, this is not to say problems are everywhere. We have a very good people in America. There's lots of good things that happen, but somehow we just don't hear of the stories of a purse being returned or a wallet being returned with all of its money and contents still in it, or people who have lost a cell phone and they send it back to the owner, often enough for free. See, these are still just right and decent things that people do, where people on the streets will simply protect an innocent person from violence. So, yes, we hear it both ways, both of what violent people do and of what a decent person does to protect an innocent person. And certainly things have changed in our society. Now, I remember those days when nobody locked their house when they left, and people even left their car keys in the ignition. And a storekeeper could leave his store open and unlocked, and if somebody came in for something, that person would just leave the money on the counter. Now, that's how America used to be, and there's lots of people who still want it that way, and they live like that. But you have to recognize America has changed. Going back to about 1950, the U.S. president and the Congress and the federal judges did not have any special armed security agents or bodyguards. But today, so very, very many do have federal protection and armed bodyguards that are provided by our government. So things have changed. Violence has increased. And why? Some people say it's because God has been removed from our society. And yeah, that's a good one to look at. God has been removed from our schools and our government and our moral foundations of society. And we have made things which God says not to do, we have made them legal. And you can bet that's going to make lots of problems. And there are going to be consequences. And there is going to be judgment. And there is going to be trouble. So we sound the warning, and we remind people, and we warn people as best we know how. Yes, in our normal daily talk, we can say something about it. We can say it in our social media. We can say something about it in our Christmas cards, even. I'm not sure about if you are a watchman, but that is described in Ezekiel chapter 14 and chapter 33. And that's a pretty serious position to be in, but it certainly weighs on your heart when you are a watchman and you want to point out the things that are problems around us and how we do need the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think about that for the good news of Jesus Christ and how we are to spread the good news of the gospel. That's Matthew 28:16. Mark 16:15 and Luke 24:47. So I think those passages make it pretty clear that we are to preach the good news of the gospel and have our sins forgiven when we confess our sin. So that's the wonderful part of our gospel. And of course there's heaven. Yeah, that's so good too. Well, we learn all these things when we study God's Word, and we know how important it is to belong to Jesus and have that relationship with Him. I know so many people see that before they die, but really we want to see that as we live so that we can live appropriately according to God. And we have that biblical message that I just described, and we speak it to people, and they can hear it one way or another. It's a part of our testimony. And certainly, pastors and preachers help a great deal to understand what the Bible says. Oh, yes, and we are often hungry for the Word of God when we are seeking that spiritual connection with God. People have always wanted that. And I think back to the old days, like 100 or 200 years ago, when the church was full. People went to church on Sunday, and it was also a day that was a social day after there was the worship of God. People would sit on hard benches as they listened. In those olden days, there was not air conditioning in the summer, and there was probably a wood stove in the winter. It was kind of awkward. At that time, mostly there were outhouses in the land, and if you had to get up to go to the bathroom, you were going to walk 200 feet. So people still wanted to hear the Word of God enough to come to church on Sundays, and it was a beautiful thing. It's a part of fulfilling our Great Commission. And again, that was written in Matthew 28:16, Mark 16:15, and Luke 24:17. Those are good things to go to remind us that we have a responsibility to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. People shared their testimony throughout time. That's what the apostles did. And we don't need to have a theological degree or a PowerPoint presentation to do that. We just have our own witness, which is our own testimony. And we speak that to people, tell them about our relation with Jesus. And that's what we do. That is enough to bring people to Jesus Christ. We share our experience, our knowledge, our testimony. That's what we do. That is an essential part of God and Jesus with us as we live and share that testimony. I know that we need the presence of God to do just about everything. Oh, in John 15:5, where we are told that without God, Jesus, we can do nothing. And another part of that, John chapter 15, is that Jesus is the vine and we are the branch. And that is a part of why we need Jesus, because he is our life. And we need Jesus to do all these things, to share our testimony. We do. We seek to have a clear understanding of God's word and God's will so that we can share it with others and encourage people to do God's righteous will on earth. I think that's what Scripture helps us to understand and to see. And it's not always easy. Oh, and that reminds me of Matthew 10:16, where God sends us forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. And therefore, we are to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Well, you know that we have to deal with people all around us. And sometimes we just have to be so careful and guarded about what we say. Or sometimes we just have to feel the Spirit moving within us, the Spirit, Holy Spirit of God. Because we do have all sorts of real life experiences to deal with. You know, there's people trying to trick us all the time. This is interesting. Within this last 10 days or something, I've had two messages. One said, "This is Social Security, and there has been a claim under your name, and if you do not act now, you will lose your benefits permanently." That was one phone message. And another one was, a package under your name has been seized by the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol, which contains contraband of drugs and cash. Press 1 now to speak to a CBP officer. So, I mean, these are examples of manipulation. They're examples of lies that are going on now, and somehow these lies are all over society. They're everywhere. And we have to realize that we must be, just like I said, as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. So that's a part of what we do when we listen to God's word and put it into practice. We have to be watchful for the wiles of the devil. And of course, pray before you do things. Have that prayerful relationship with God all the time. Our society is going down this slippery slope. It's not going to be easy. We have so many things to overcome, but we are slipping into a kind of decay, a kind of chaos, where we are more inclined to tolerate lies and immorality, like I just said about those phone messages that I received. Things are becoming more and more deceptive. Well, even for people claiming to be government officials or people claiming to be policemen, people having phony IDs, people having phony uniforms, it is just something we have to be so aware of that we don't let that grow in our society. And to do that, we have to grasp and hold on to God's righteousness. There is just plain too much corruption around us, and we have to stand for God's righteousness. We want corruption to be eliminated from our personal life and from our community life. And the way to do that is to live a life that is, well, godly. And that's what we are called on to do. Sometimes we have to search out the evil, and it's not easy. Yes, I remember in days gone by, I have looked over quite a lot of reports, and it's not fun to search out corruption. It is not fun to find mistakes that people do or have made. But it's a part of being holy and righteous, which is what we want to do. Even if it is boring to read a long report or boring to hear a long testimony, sometimes that is just what it takes to eliminate ungodliness, to eliminate evil. You have to look into what's going on. That's just what we do. Hey, I was thinking of there's this quick 15-minute video I saw about Congressman Louis Gohmert going on the record to Congress. And he was asking questions about an investigation of the December 6th Washington, D.C. riots. He said that there were numerous federal government reports and he had questions about them. So he was asking for an investigation by Congress to find out how many embedded federal agents there were in radical and violent groups that invaded the area of our Capitol in Washington, D.C. on December 6th. Representative Louis Gohmert noted the FBI and other federal agencies have 14,000 hours of videotape evidence. And therefore, when we see the multiple federal reports full of names that have been covered over or masked, and that would hide the identities of many individuals. He says, by his experience, this suggests that there was a leadership role of federal agents in that December 6th Washington, D.C. riots. And he knew this because of his experience as a prosecutor. He said there were just too many people who had been protected from indictments or were confidential informants in those reports. Therefore, he said, we have to ask two questions. One, did our government agencies have advanced knowledge or planning of the December 6th event and do nothing? Or, two, were agents within our federal government active instigators of these egregious and spectacular events of December 6th? Which therefore amounted to an entrapment theme that was used to entrap harmless protesters and label protesters as potential terrorists. And then he used an example of this kind of thing happening with the plot to kidnap Governor Whitmer. And he noted that 3 out of 5 people in that van on that specific day were government agents or FBI operatives. And so we must ask, were government agents used to encourage or entrap uninvolved U.S. citizens on that day? And he notes that in those reports to Congress, at least 20 persons have had their identities blocked out, obviously because of their government affiliation. Anyway, that's my notes from what the U.S. Representative Congressman Louis Gumart had said about his concerns, and he read those in the Congressional Record. Well, those were my notes that I made about his testimony. So the point is here is we have things that are going on that are showing the unwholesomeness of government. And, well, we want our people around us and our government, the people we associate with, to be honorable, decent, Christian people. And so what we do is we are going to be honorable, decent, Christian people and associate with people who are the same. As we try to maintain the moral principles of our founding fathers. So, yes, that's what I think we do. And here was an example of our congressman talking about that kind of a thing. We want to live and speak and do righteously. Yeah, there's so much going on around us, and we want to have good government. A lot of the answer for good government is to vote the people that are not good out of office. But I know in my past, as I looked at things and we say, how did that person get voted in? And you ask people, did you vote for that people or did you not vote for that unrighteous person? And you find out that 75% of the people did not, but that person still won. And so you have to wonder if there is something going on with vote manipulation. And yes, we have examples of that, as I just said before, that in the big cities like Chicago, dead people voted. That's what did happen. And there's been vote manipulation all along. Even in that 2020 presidential election between Trump and Biden, there has been much witness saying that there was vote manipulation. If that is true, How are we going to get through this change or desire to have a wholesome, godly government? How are we going to do it if our votes don't count or are miscounted? Yes, there's a lot going on. I think the biggest thing is we need to promote Christianity, and that is when God's laws are written on our hearts. Or we need a revival. Yeah, I think of that one too. And that makes me think of the Welsh revivals of 1859 and 1905. A Welsh revival. Now, Welsh pretty much means Irish. And there were revivals in that country in those years where drunkenness stopped. Domestic violence and public violence practically disappeared. The society was transformed into a compassionate community. And that happened there. So you better know that it can happen in the United States of America. We can have a quick Christian revival. And we want to have that now before our country marches any further towards that new world order. And we are having things that are just... We in this country are on a slippery slope downward, and it is not good. We have to make the change to righteousness, God's righteousness. That's what God's people have to do. We have to do it. There's so many people who see the writing on the wall, so to speak, where things are going downhill fast, and there is an expectation that problems are coming to America. A lot of people are thinking in terms of an electrical outage and a food shortage. Those are the things that are so often talked about. And of course, we do have the water shortage in California. The experts have just said, prepare for 5 years of drought. I just heard that on the media. So we have things going on as the world is pushing towards a cryptocurrency or a central bank currency with blockchain technology tied to that. And that means big changes are coming. And we're all getting set up for it. We're getting set up. I just saw another business. Let's see. Morgan Stanley in New York City said no customers and no employees would be allowed in their place of business unless they had had the COVID vaccination. And that rule was going to be in effect on July 12th. That's just days away. So will we need a vaccine passport to function in society? And I guess the next question is, if we need that to function in society, when will we need the mark to function in society? Is it just leading us towards it? It sure could be. Now, while we think we don't know what's coming, the Bible does tell us all about the things that are coming. And so it only makes sense to me to have preparations for the just in case. Now, okay, maybe we can't do everything we need, but every one of us can do something. Do something to prepare for some kind of an emergency. And I'm not talking about the rapture. That's another big theological question about what happens in whatever time it is. The last 3.5 years? Sure. This is another question. Maybe you do want to prepare for that. But certainly you want to prepare for the little things, relatively small, like the Paradise fire or the Loma Prieta earthquake or some other earthquake. We know there's the Cascadia subduction zone, which will bring about that 9-point-plus earthquake, shaking for 4 or 5 minutes. That's way different from the shakings that we've had, which have been 15 seconds or so. So we have things going on, lots of questions going on. We have, let's see, in the news, there was something about SpaceX being ready to have customers in September. Customers with their 1,800 satellites that are now in orbit, and that they would become operational between main cities in September. Now, their system is not fully functioning. To be fully functioning for getting the whole world, they call it wired up, they need 4,000 more small satellites. But still, talking about being operational in September is a change. There are things going on all around us in the world. And nobody knows if the big changes that are coming are going to be months away, years away, or decades away. It's just like we don't know when Jesus is returning. Yes, there's so many people that have the sense of it, and they say, Jesus is returning anytime. Well, maybe it's true, but maybe it's not. And so think about your preparations for just the normal things, the fires, the earthquakes that are happening. And that's something, I mean, things happen without warning. Do you remember, I guess this was 20, 30 years ago, where there was the Murrah building? That was a surprise. There was the 9/11 event 20 years ago. That was a surprise. There was the financial crash of 2008. That was a surprise. Things happen, and we don't get a warning to get our supplies together. Therefore, I remind you, get your supplies together. Get them now. It's what we want to do. There are so many things that are just going on, and some of them don't seem to make any sense. Some people don't think our guy Biden makes any sense. Hey, you know what's funny about him? I have to say, let's see, this was in the 1980s. He underwent two operations. They are called lobotomies. Now, that is just plain redirecting nerves in the brain. That's what it means. There are extreme lobotomies and there are small-scale lobotomies. But it is interesting that he had two of them in the 1980s, and somehow our media just hasn't reported that. But they certainly reported on the previous President Trump how he had any health issue they could raise, they did. And it turns out they weren't none. But with Biden, there are issues, but they're not reported. Oh, boy. Issues. Lots of things are not reported. That's just the way our media works. And I think about the things going on. Well, let's see. This was just a couple of days ago. It was reported that Russia had fired warning shots toward a British destroyer in the Black Sea because it was within the 3-kilometer limit of territorial waters of the Russian area. It's just interesting. We have things that could just explode. Yes, in that area around the Black Sea. After all, Ukraine is starting to pull away from Russia, and they are joining with the Western NATO alliance. Tensions continue. Tensions all over the place. Oh, and in that Ukrainian conflict, there have been 14,000 people killed in 7 years. 2,000 a year? It's a conflict. And will it settle down or will it get escalated? Nobody really knows. But in that area, violence and trouble can escalate rather quickly. So, hey, that's another reason to get prepared, you know? Get prepared for the just in case, because conflicts have a way of shutting our supply lines down. And already we have shutdowns of our supply lines. Things are not like they used to be. And speaking of conflict, there's one in the Middle East, in Iran. They just had their facility bombed. Now, it was a drone attack. Iran said this was a facility that manufactured COVID vaccines. But no, it was owned and operated by their Atomic Energy Commission. That's not the right name, but it's what the function of it is. So the point is Iran is not happy that that facility was attacked by drones. And so there's going to be an escalation of who knows what. But things are going to go on, and we have to be prepared for our supply chains to be disrupted for one reason or another. And that's another reason to get our supplies together for the just in case. What do we need? We need food. That's for sure. And everybody has their own ideas of what we need. And that's a good thing. That way we can help each other in times of need, because we will all have different supplies. Some will store up on batteries, and some will store up on food, others on school supplies. It's just all going to be different. But we are having these attacks going on. You know, there's the cyber attacks. That's what's going on. And what are we going to do? Well, we're going to recognize that more attacks can be coming, and that if it gets to a certain point, we are going to have our electricity and our water shut off. I mean, look, for years, for probably at least a dozen years, I've heard about the reports of people sabotaging or about the cyber attacks going on for our water treatment facilities and also the electricity facilities. Those have been a common target, and it's only reasonable to assume that they are going to continue to be a target of every sort of attack, both in the physical and in the cyberspace. One of the thing about the cyber, you don't hear this very often, but there have been millions of dollars paid to these people who attack companies, and they say, you pay us $1 million or we are going to shut your business down. We know that about the Continental Pipeline. That was well known. But most of the time, companies pay a few $100,000 or even $1 million to stop a cyber attack. And that has been going on for years. It is in the news, but it's not headline news. You can see it, you can hear it, if you listen. It's my example of why we should be prepared with an understanding that our electricity could stop and our water could stop. So be prepared. I know there's a lot of people who are talking about being prepared. They are the elite. They are the people in government. They are the people who have a big budget to prepare for the unexpected. And that's just what they are doing. So maybe you and I should get prepared also, because there's always something happening. There's always a plan. And I think of one of the plans that has been going on for decades is there has been a plan to join the United States and Russia in several areas. Hard to believe. I know that when I first heard it, I didn't want to believe it. How can the United States and Russia be joined? Well, that's a part of the elite plan, and there have been steps towards that for decades. That's why there was the Ford truck manufacturing plant was taken down and shipped to Russia. That was in the 1950s. Another thing in the 1950s was there was the agreement between the U.S. and the Soviets for an education agreement. I think that first one was 1958. In 1965, there was another step towards unifying our education system through our Department of Education. That 65 bill was why our local school boards are not listened to so very well, because Congress strengthened the Department of Education at that time, and it reduced the roles of local school boards. That was the 1965 ESEA agreement, and it had to do with elementary and secondary schools. But these things have been going along all the while as to why our schools are turning out students with a different point of view. In the 1990s and the 2000s, well, we've heard about these things, the march towards, well, there was always an element of them, of a march towards a global curriculum. And it supported a move away from U.S. citizenship and towards world citizenship. And we think of it with other names. We think of outcome-based education and school-to-work programs and Goals 2000 and No Child Left Behind. But what we have as a part of those programs has been a support into the direction of a universal education. And that is what else is going on. The programs have been in place for a long time, and you only hear about these things if you listen. The news doesn't tell you, but you do hear the teachers who give their testimony and say, oh, yes, I spoke out publicly, and I was fired. Oh, that has happened so many times. The examples are there. It's just that the main news reports don't talk about it. We are going on a great big downward slide. That's what our society is doing. And what we have to do is be aware of it. And we have to hold God's righteousness very strongly, because we are at a point where things are looking like the downward slide is going to lead us to a crash and burn situation. So what do we want to do? Return to fundamental Christianity. That's what I see the answer is, and that's what we want to do. Our pastors are going to have an important role in directing us towards a godly orientation and how to view the Constitution and our founding documents. Now, we are getting so close to July 4th, the celebration of our nation's independence, and it's a good thing to think about how we can combine what our founding fathers saw, a Christian morality with a government that is caring about people's liberties. That's what I hope we examine and try to figure out how to stay free. Part of that is going to be responsible, because we have to be responsible for all the things that are around us, responsible for ourselves. We don't need a king to take care of everything. We are supposed to be that authority, and I think we do that with the benefit of the churches and the pastors to guide us spiritually into a direction for our moral and physical selves. That's my idea. I think there's something about that in Samuel 10. 1 Samuel 8:10. That's where it is. Where we refocus on God and His purpose and His righteousness. And then we go into the direction of liberty and Jesus Christ. That's what I think we do. That's what I think that 1 Samuel chapter 8 is about. And if we don't, where are we headed? We're headed down that slippery slope to the beast system. That's what I see, and that's what we want to stay away from. The beast system will put us into that eternal lake of fire. Oh, for torment goes on forever. Let us choose Jesus. Let us be with Jesus in heaven. And that's what we certainly want for all of us. And so we spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and have our personal testimony right along with that. Choose Jesus and then live like you mean it. That let your free will decisions be according to biblical righteousness. That's what I think we do. That's what will help us to avoid the problems in life. And we have plenty of them. We have plenty of problems, and we want to seek answers according to our fundamental Christian belief structure. I think that all of us want to have the righteous systems around us, our righteous neighbors around us, our righteous corporations around us. And that's what we do, is we have those expectations that the people around us are going to be Christ-honoring. And then we are also going to be Christ-honoring. That's what we do to bring a wonderful system back to us. And it's a lot to overcome because we have an education system that has put progressive thoughts into the minds of our children. We can blame it on that. That's reasonable. If you go back to the educational system and the founder, John Dewey, he was a very progressive person. He had ideas of socialism, which bordered right on communism, and he was a man who promoted our school system. He developed it. So that's something we all have to overcome and understand how we are going to show children, our children, our neighbors' children, show society and the world how good Jesus Christ is and how we want to follow Jesus Christ. That's the system we want to follow, not the beast system that is, oh, it's coming about. Look around us. You can see how we are progressing towards a beast system on earth. So let us cling tightly to Jesus and his righteousness in every way. So you can listen to any past broadcast of Christ Today by going to www.christtoday.org. That's all lowercase and no spaces. You can also get my free preparedness pamphlet by sending me a stamped self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Well, God bless you, and may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.